Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Thanks for joining me tonight. I have a really great episode lined up for you. Tonight I have Dan joining us, and Dan lived in a haunted house down in Sydney of New South Wales. Now you might recognize Dan's voice, and that's because he was actually featured on episode 6, The Min Min Lights of New South Wales. Now, what makes Dan's haunted house so special is that multiple people have had encounters in this house, with one of those encounters being witnessed by a backyard full of people on a New Year's Eve celebration. But before we get into that, let's talk about some iTunes 5-star ratings and reviews. Each week, I'll read out a new 5-star review that's left for me on iTunes. So if you want your review left out, simply jump on iTunes, leave me a 5-star review, and let me know what you enjoy about the show, and I might just read it out on the next episode. This one's titled Great Podcast, and it's by In the Salt Fly Fishing Magazine from Australia. Loving the Australian paranormal and UFO content. Great stories and great production quality. Looking forward to seeing where you take this podcast. Cheers from Mackay in Queensland. Now, if you're listening from Mackay, let me know. I'm up in Cairns. So if there's any Mackay listeners out there who want to get on the show, just let me know. Shoot me an email. Hit me up on Facebook. Whatever you do, just get in contact with me. But that's enough of me talking. Let's get into Dan's haunting encounters. All right, tonight we're joined by Dan, and Dan was actually on a recent episode. He was on episode 6, and he's the gentleman that had the interactions with the Min Min Lights. Now, Dan's also had some pretty insane, I guess you could call them hauntings. So, Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Cade. How are you?
Very good, mate. It's you're our very first return guest, so welcome back.
I'm honored and blessed, I think.
So, you have had quite an experience with some hauntings, haven't you, mate?
Yes, mate, I sure have. I've owned a house that was haunted. It was my first house that my wife and I bought in Blacktown. The story goes with the house, it was an old doctor's surgery that was in the middle of Blacktown when before West Point or Westfields was built. And when it was due to be built, the house that we bought, it was moved from the centre of Blacktown to its current location that it is in, the location that we bought that when we moved in. The use of the house was an old doctor's surgery.
Would that have been from really early, I guess, settlement times?
Wouldn't have been settlement, because the house wasn't that old, but it was old enough. So it would, we had it dated around 1920s, 1930s. So it was a little like a Californian bungalow cottage, gabled front with a two-bedroom veranda, sunroom out the back. Had like coconut fibre gyprock in it, really wide 1920s, 1930s style architraves and picture rail and stuff like that. That's how come we know it was around that era because of the architraves and the gyprock that was used. It was had either horsehair or coconut fibre within the set within the plasterboard. That was quite common for that era.
Do you mind kind of just diving into some of the experiences that you've had in this house? Because we spoke a little bit before, a couple of weeks ago, about some of the stuff that you've encountered in this house. And I have to say, it absolutely blew me away. And I knew I had to get you back on the show as soon as we could. So, if you don't mind, do you mind kind of going back to the first encounter that you had in this house?
Absolutely, mate. The first encounter we had was the first year we moved in. It was 1994. It was a New Year's Eve night, so it was New Year's Eve. Having a barbecue, I had 15 friends around. We had, and we're all couples, so we're all out the backyard. There was no one in the house at all. We're all sitting out the back because it's obviously a hot summer's night, middle of Sydney, nice and warm. Barbecue was going. It was about 8:30 at night, so it was just going, starting to get on dusk and whatnot. So we had all the guys were standing at the barbecue as usual, all the girls were sitting at the table. So if you can picture in your mind, a little bit of a sloping block back up to the back of the house with an old sunroom, an enclosed veranda sunroom on the back of the house. So we're standing at the barbecue, cooking the barbecue. For whatever reason, we all look up at the back of the house and we see this figure of a man. Of a tall man of about 6 foot, maybe 6 foot five, something like that, walk from one side of the house to the other. You could see that like a shadow through the window. I turned to the friend that was standing next to me. I'm like, "Who's that in there?" And he's like, "I don't know. Who was that?" And I'm like, "Someone's broken into the house." So we ran up the stairs into the house, checked out all the house. Front door's dead bolted. No one's in the house. We went back outside and we're looking around. Yeah, there's no one else. Jesus Christ. We've just seen a ghost, everyone. And a couple of guys were very apprehensive. They're like, no, it couldn't have been. I'm like, well, who was in the house? Who walked past then? And they're like, we don't know what it was, but they were really they felt very I won't say frightened, but they were like really apprehensive and agitated by the whole incident. I honestly thought someone had broken in and had walked across the back room of the house, and we were ready to basically jump an intruder. It was that real and that vivid, as far as you could really make out. There was a tall man walk from one side of the house to the other.
And could you tell any features of the figure? Could you see if it was maybe of a yesteryear? Was there anything that kind of gave it a little bit of shape?
What had a hat on, like an old time sort of hat,
not a bowler cap or something like that?
No, more like a fedora.
Okay.
Like a fedora hat, like you could sort of make out. It wasn't like a round head shape. It was definitely looked like you had a hat on, and tall. You know, like I'm 6 foot one myself, and knowing that room, he would have been 6'1" to 6'5". And another thing too, Cade, there was a wall at one end of the room that sectioned off a very small part of it, like maybe 2 meters by 2 meters by 2.2 or something like that, from the rest of the back of the room, which where the dining table was situated, which was about another three to three and a half meters, and the door was closed. So there was I don't know how he's walked continuously through a wall and a closed door to the other end of the room, which is about 7 meters long.
Yeah, right. Now, I've got a question for you there, mate. Was a wall ever added to that area, or was that always part of the house?
That was part of the house when I was there. It looked like that. What it was an old veranda that was enclosed, and then part of it was closed off into like a little study room, and then there was another room, and then there was a laundry sort of thing. Excuse me. And so I eventually took that wall out and made that room one big room. But when we first moved in, as this was like literally, we moved in at the end of November, and this happened on New Year's Eve. So it was literally a month and a half after we moved in, not even a month. And the wall was still there. So, and I remember the door was closed. Both me and my friend, I'm going to call him Davo for the sake of it. We walked in and gone, we were both standing there looking at each other and going, what was that? What did we just see? And so, yeah, that was another thing that, that just took us aback a bit, so I could say.
Yeah, I can imagine so. And did you ever have any experiences before this night, or was that the very first bit of activity that you ever experienced in that house?
Very first bit of experience in that house, but I've had, I would say, entities come to me and speak as a child, like as a teenager and younger. I had my grandmother come to me just before the night she died, and I had an auntie wake me up sitting on the end of my bed one night, the night that she passed away as well, when I was a young fella. And quote,
ghostly visits or spiritual visits isn't something uncommon for you then?
Not at all. Look, I've never lived in a haunted house before this, that I knew of, or that I thought was haunted. But I'd definitely had encounters with lost relatives that physically woke me up in the middle of the night. Not just like, oh, it's a dream, you know, you're sort of half waking up. No, so physically waking up and sitting on the end of my bed.
Yeah, wow.
But in Blacktown, when we did move in, when we were looking at the house to purchase a house, the lady that was selling the house, as we were leaving, I was the last one to walk out the door. She turned to me and she said, oh, you know this house is haunted, right? I'm like, yeah, so it didn't faze me at all. Like, as I said, because I had encounters with spirits, and even though they were ones that I was quite familiar with, as far as being my auntie and my grandmother, they weren't like a negative force. So I never thought that, you know, well, if I come in contact with another one, I'm not going to assume it's negative straight away, sort of thing.
Yeah, of course. And I think that's a good mindset to have when you go into these situations, because, you know, I'm a real believer that certain people attract certain types of energy. And if you're really giving off a positive energy, you're going to, I guess, attract that positive energy. So if you're going into a situation like this and you're having, you know, negative thoughts, or you're having just a negative vibe about it, especially when it comes to the spiritual world, I think that's really a gate that you probably don't want to open.
Yeah, absolutely agree, mate. Totally agree. And I also think that it would have been a different type of feeling in the house too, if we did go in with that type of attitude.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're in there, Dan, did you encounter any other spirits, or was it just this really tall individual that kind of roamed the house?
It seemed like it was just this one individual, and I don't know what the story was with the house as far as if anyone had died there. Being in doctor's surgery for 40 years, I dare say quite a few people would have, because it was moved in 1978, so we're talking, you know, from the 40s onwards sort of thing. So I'm sure a few people would have died in the house if it was a doctor surgery, which I'm led to believe it was, from a lot of old friends that grew up in the area and knew the area very, very well. We also had a lot of other encounters with the same entity, you know, like there'd be times where we'd be sound asleep, the door would fling open, the light would go on, or the light would turn off, or paintings would move, or yeah, just all sorts of things. Other people, when I remember a story one day where I was studying for uni, and I had a friend over, and we were both studying, and I was hungry. I said, "Look, I'm going to go down the shop and grab something to eat. Do you want anything?" She said, "No, I'm staying here. I'm going to finish off this report." And I had a dog at the time that was an Australian bulldog sort of thing, like sort of a bulldog, sort of staffy type dog. And I said, "Well, I'll leave the dog with you, and I'll be back in five minutes." The shop was literally, you know, 500 metres down the road. So I go down, I get whatever I want to eat, come back, and my friend says, "What is in this house?" I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "What's in this house? What's going on?" I said, "You know this house is haunted, don't you? I told you that." She said, "No, what do you mean it's haunted?" And she said, I said, "Why? What happened?" She said, "As soon as you left," my dog's name was Thing at the time. So she said, "As soon as you left, Thing was straight under my chair, facing towards the laundry, like the back end of this sunroom, where this guy walked through. So from one side to the other, he would have been at the far end where he walked to. And my friend was sitting up the other end. The dog was under her legs." And she said, "Your dog, I've never seen your dog growl like that ever in my life." And she was a close friend. She'd been over. We went to the same uni together, you know. She was, you know, a close family friend, you know. And she'd known the dog since she was a pup sort of thing. And she's like, "I have never seen your dog act like that. There is something in this house." I'm like, "Yeah. There's a big tall dude in here. I don't know what his name is, but he's here." And she's like, "I wish you would have told me that before."
Yeah, so, I could have imagined that went down really well with that friend.
Yeah, she freaked out a little bit, but once I told her and said, "No, it's all right. He's cool. He just like moves stuff around, opens doors, and you know, just plays games every now and again." We told him we weren't moving out. We didn't care who was here. Either you live with us or you move out, because we ain't going anywhere. And so I think he got used to us.
And are you still in this house, Dan?
No, mate. I actually sold it to an old friend and that I haven't spoken to for a long time. So, but the friend that did buy it was one of the friends that's seen the ghost.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It was quite agitated about it too.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how that's gone for him. I don't know if the ghost is still there or if anything's happened since I've sold it to him. I sold it to him back in 2001, and we bought it in 93 and sold in 2001, I think.
Yeah. Okay, that's not too bad, I guess. And
2002 it was, sorry. That's right. I moved up the North Coast in 2002, so...
Oh, right. And while you're in there, Dan, I mean, you say the spirit was a friendly one. Did you ever have any other run-ins with it? I mean, did you ever see it in such a, I guess, a physical form like you did that first time?
No, only the first time was really the only time that I ever seen it in real, like that. You could really make out what type of entity it was, you know, like a male suit, you know, like square shoulder type thing, hat, the whole business. My wife used to hear footsteps. So at that period of time, I used to work for BHP and work night shift in the steelworks. And I remember she'd ring me up sometimes at like 4 o'clock in the morning saying, you're not home, obviously. I'm like, no, I'm at work. Okay, it's just the ghost walking around again. And she'd hear footsteps in, through the hallway. And like, obviously we'd sleep with the dog would sleep inside with her while I'm doing night shift. And the dog wouldn't go off because it was used to it now. And with my wife home, she knew what was going on. So the dog was quite calm sort of thing. Yeah, I'd get phone calls every now and again asking me if I was, am I home or what's going on?
Yeah, right. And did your wife have any other encounters with it? I mean, it seems like it kind of put on that great big show at the start there, and it kind of just seemed to make its presence just feel like it was around a little bit. Did she ever have any major experiences with it?
Only one night where the footsteps were really loud, and she actually thought there was someone out the front, and it turned out it was Ghosty. We used to call him Ghosty for whatever reason because we didn't know his name. But yeah, that was the only time she got really worried. But she probably thought it was an intruder. And it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I get a phone call at work. Can you come home? I think there's someone creeping around the front. And by the time I got home, yeah, there was no one there, obviously. But when we thought about it later, it was more likely the footsteps. Like, it was more likely Ghosty walking around playing his tricks.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that kind of would have you a little bit on edge, I guess, when you're first living there, because you're not quite used to, well, I guess no one is ever really used to a ghost walking around their house unless it's been, you know, it becomes part of the furniture, really.
Yeah, and then like, and especially when you're home there alone and your partner's off at the work sort of thing, you know, it doesn't make it any easier.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Now, let's go back to the night of New Year's Eve of 1994. How did your friends react? Now, you said some of them were very, very uneasy about it. I mean, did anyone else comment on it?
We all did. Absolutely. It was actually a talking point for quite a number of minutes. Because basically, me and my mate Dave, we ran straight inside. We thought someone had broken into the house, literally, because everyone in the party was outside. We knew that because all the blokes were standing there. All the wives were literally not even 5 metres away. And some of the wives even looked up and gone, oh, who's that? So we all actually seen this entity walk across the room, and that's why we ran in. And I honestly thought someone broke into the house. But then we got to the front door. The front door is still deadbolted, closed up, all good, no dramas. And then, yeah, and that's when we got outside and everyone, who was it? Who was it? No one. What do you mean no one? No one. No, but we seen someone. No, we didn't.
Yeah, that would have been a bit of a shock to the whole group, I could imagine.
It was, and that's when two people, the guy that bought the house off me 10 years later, or 7 years later, no, nearly 10 years later, he was one of the ones that was, nah, there's nothing, I didn't see anything. And he seen it, and he first off, and then he just went into total denial, basically, and was really on edge. He didn't like it at all. And another guy's like, don't know what I saw. But all the other people that were there were like, no, we know what we saw. That was a ghost. That was dead set a ghost.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see people's reactions when it comes to situations like that, because you're either a believer or you're not, and a non-believer quickly questions a lot of things when they see something like that.
And exactly right. And it breaks down a lot of, it's sort of like a brick wall hitting their beliefs sort of thing, you know, or a Mack truck hitting their beliefs from behind.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not just a small tap, you know, it's like someone smacked them in the back of the head, especially when it's such, so in your face and right there. We all seen it, and we all know this guy seen it too, and he knows he's seen it, and he was just, yeah, he didn't know what he didn't want to believe what he saw.
Yeah, and that can be really hard for people too. So it's kind of understandable, but I mean, seeing is always believing, in my opinion.
Absolutely, and mate, look, I'm of the mindset that I'm not going to force anything down on people. If he wants to say that he didn't see anything, and it was just a shadow of someone walking past me, and I'm saying, what do you mean a shadow of someone walking past? We're all standing still. He's like, but oh, it must have been a shadow. I said, Rick, you couldn't see the bottom half of his legs because of a window. How could the shadow doesn't work like that?
Yeah, it's kind of funny how people kind of piece things together to justify it in their own minds, and you know that's and people are entitled to that, I guess.
Yeah, and that's cool, you know, and that's as I was about to say, Kate, is we probably argued for like 2 minutes and then dropped it and left it at that and never spoke about it again. Literally.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
And so I'm not going to push my what I've seen on him, because, hey, it makes no difference in the end.
Well, that's right. And, I mean, it kind of takes away from – I mean, you had a – I guess you could take this as a positive experience. That was a positive encounter there. There was nothing maleficent about it. And, I mean, that would only really shine it in a bad light if you kind of ended it on a bit of an argument with your mate about, hey, mate, that was definitely a ghost that you saw.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's not worth it. You know, when it comes down to it, it's not really worth it. We're there having fun at a New Year's Eve party. We're not going to wreck, you know, like, we all know what we saw, and everyone was happy with that, and we just went on drinking.
That's it, mate.
at that time. But, look, I've got to tell you about one more little thing that happened, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
So one day we... Just before we moved out, actually, it was literally about 3 months before we'd already had made the deal with my friend that we're moving out, and he was buying the house, and was going through the paperwork, literally. And whatever reason, we left our dog thing inside. We said, we're just going down the shops for a couple of minutes and grabbing some things and coming back. And we locked her in the back room, in that big back room where this guy walked across. Come back home, literally only 10 minutes, and opened the door. Thing wasn't in the back room. I'm like, where's the dog? I look up, and the window at the back of the house, like, so it had four sliding windows, old wooden ones that were across the back of the house. And the back of the house, off the ground, I'm 6 foot one, where the window sill was, where the dog, for whatever reason, had jumped through the window, smashed the glass, was at least 8 foot high.
Oh, wow.
So something... Well, I don't know what it was, this dog wasn't a small dog. She was a tough dog. She, you know, she'd been up in properties. You know, she'd been around other big dogs, and you know, she knew the ropes. She wasn't a very skitty dog. You know, she would go for something rather than back down from something. You know, if something was a crack at us, sort of thing. She wasn't a scared dog. But we come home and the window was completely smashed. She was out the backyard. It was where I used to have all my CDs and music and stuff like that. She basically jumped up on the CDs. They were all over the floor, broken and scattered. The window was smashed and she was out the backyard. I don't know how she didn't, like, cut herself to bits, literally. I looked at her. She had a little tiny little nick on the top of her head, and that was it. But yeah, I don't know what scared her that day, but something really scared her. Both my wife and I were like, "Wow, what's going on here? That's full on. That was really full on for us."
Yeah, yeah, I could imagine. And how was the dog? Did it ever go back inside after that?
Oh, it was fine when we were there.
Okay.
There was no dramas when we were there. We never had a problem when we were there. She was always fine, and nothing ever happened when we were there. It was only, as I said, that time when she sat under my friend's chair, under my friend, when I went down the shop and growled at something at the end of the room for the complete the whole time I was gone. So whatever this entity was, when Shirley and I, that the night after the New Year's Eve thing, we sat down at our by ourselves out the back room, and we said, right, we know you're here, we're not going anywhere, we're not scared of you, so you can walk around and open doors and do whatever you like, we don't really care, but get used to us, because we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And did you find things really settled down after that?
Yeah, it was literally only like the door would open every now and again, or the light would turn on and off or something like that every now and like, it happened like once a week. I'm not saying but it wasn't, we knew what it was, you know what I mean? It wasn't, you know, ooh, something's there sort of thing, because we'd actually seen the entity and, well, we knew it was there, so we basically told him, we're not going anywhere. You're going to have to live with us. We can't afford to sell up and go just because you're here. You know, we just bought this house sort of thing. As I said, it was fine. The dogs were fine. We ended up having two dogs there at one stage, and both dogs are always fine when we were there. As soon as either my wife or I would leave... stuff would go wrong with people there. You know what I mean?
So it's almost like it's a little naughty kid.
Yeah, it was sort of was. Though. It was sort of was. Oh, the cat's away, I can play around a bit. Funny you should say that. You know what? This has just come back to me, eh? So we bought the property I'm at about 2.5 years before we actually moved up here. And a friend of mine was staying at my property at Blacktown, and I was up here for the week. We were up here, we were having a holiday, and he was minding our house, basically. We get back there on the Sunday night, and he's like, what's in this house? I'm like, you know, you were at the New Year's Eve party. You've seen what walked across the back room. He's like, that's right. I forgot all about that. He's gone, dude, things have been happening in this house like you would not believe. I'm like, no, I wouldn't believe. I know what's going on here. He's gone, dude, doors have opened, lights are turning on and off, and both my wife are going, yeah, that's ghosty. He's been here since we started. You've seen him. You were at the New Year's Eve party. It's like, yeah, I remember now. I forgot all about that. And so he'd just forgotten what happened. You know, this was... would have been in the 2000s by now, you know, so a lot of alcohol had washed under the bridge by that time.
That's right, yeah.
And so, yeah, that was quite amusing for us when I look back at it and have a yak about it.
Well, damn, man, I think it would be great if you got in contact with the new owner of the property and just touch base and see if he's if old Ghosty's still floating around and seeing if he's still being good or if he's a little bit more on the naughty side now.
It would be interesting to find out, but I actually don't have that person's number anymore, mate, unfortunately. And I'm sure one day if he'd like to, I'm happy to take a call from him.
Yeah, that would be, it'll be interesting. It'll be quite good to see if anything's come from it. So, but
yeah,
thanks for coming on tonight, Dan. It's been an absolute cracker of a chat with you, mate. And it's always good to have a friendly ghost chat.
Yeah, mate. Like I honestly had no bad, like, you know how some people, you can walk into a room and get a real negative vibe or a real negative feeling about something. Not this. This was, for us, it was fine. And as I said, the lady said it's haunted. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, so? What's a big deal? Ghosts are ghosts. You know, so what?
That's exactly it.
It definitely wasn't a negative experience for us. I'm sure my dog didn't like it when we left her there by herself that day. But anyway, things happen.
Thanks again for coming on, Dan.
Mate, it was a pleasure. And thanks for having me, Kate. I really appreciate it, mate. And anytime you want, please give us a call.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.